Father, we thank you for this wonderful book, Revelation. Teach us how to treasure all the lessons we've learned, all the words of encouragement and challenge and even rebuke. We pray that you will open our eyes further as we read your word. Help us to understand and appreciate it further, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. And let's look at Revelation 22, and we're going to read from verse 14, when the Lord says, I am coming quickly to give everyone according to his work. Okay, now let's look at this very carefully. Blessed are those who do his commandments, right? Now this is something that we want to think about very carefully. When we think of the word blessing, we think in terms of, we read in Psalm 103, the idea of benefits, right? But the focus here is actually, we ask ourselves, what is this idea of being blessed? And then what does it really mean? How does it go that way? And the focus is actually on those who do his commandments. See, we can believe in a lot of things, and we feel blessed in a sense, because we feel that we have read something and we are encouraged, we are enlightened. Can we say we feel we are blessed? The answer is yes. But there is another type of blessing, as it were, that is really a bit different. So when we look at the word blessing, we are looking at different types of blessing rather than a single idea, blessing all the same. They're not all the same. They really are not. It's just that sometimes we think of blessing as simply, we receive something. Is that a blessing? Yes. When we understand something, is that a blessing? Yes. Is that a blessing when we do something? See, that's your difference. I mean, this is something that we want to look at, because we need to distinguish very carefully. Right? For example, Revelation 1, bless the one who reads. Well, that's one blessing. Bless are those who hear these commandments. That's another blessing. Right? So here is, blessed are those who do his commandments. So that is your situation here again, and it is just important. So if we read, if we hear, if we understand, and we feel blessed, is this what we are talking about? Frankly, no. The word is focus on the doing part of it. And this is a big challenge, because a lot of times we hear, but we don't do. This is what the book of James tells us, There are people who say they have faith, but they have no works to show for it. So what kind of faith is that? Frankly, not much. Can the person say, I'm blessed because I have faith? Yes. Well, this is one type of thing. Right? So when we look at the idea of blessing, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean? Literally, the whole idea here of it all is that of looking at the state of being blessed. So that when we look at this blessing here, we're looking at something very, very carefully. Okay, let's look at the point of it all. Okay, for example, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, this is going to be very, very significant, right? Because a lot of times we need to ask ourselves, what is this tree of life and all that? Let's go back a little bit to Matthew chapter 7, right? Go back to what the Lord Jesus said. And this is where we need to look at very carefully, okay? Verse 21. Now, we read, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. Okay? Now, out there in the world, there are people who will talk about this idea, you know, of, I find it very hard, you know, just they call it the sinner's prayer approach. I probably have heard about it. Just get the person to say, I do, that's it. I believe, that's it. And the question is that even valid? Is it a biblical teaching? Well, let's take a look at this, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says, see, there's a word, who says to me, Lord, Lord. So when people say, oh, but the person said, I do, yes, we have failed to understand what the Lord Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, there are some who will say, yes, Lord, I believe, meaningfully. There are also those who will say, and it is not true. They're just words. Right? So we cannot deny that saying that we believe is important. But we must also qualify at the same time. Not everyone. So to tell people, just say yes, sinner's prayer, and then, hey, presto, the person is saved, puts the person in a very dangerous position. Because the Lord tells us, not everyone shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So we assure the person, oh, the person is saved already, and that's it. And that's frightening. Right? So you have always this last gasp kind of approach towards faith in the Lord Jesus, whether or not it's even true. And we console ourselves that that is true. Of what worth is that consolation? Now, the focus of the Lord is, but he who does, see the difference between saying and doing, the will of my Father in heaven. Right? But the people who just simply say, they will argue with the Lord. Many will say to me, there we go, again, the same word, who say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Right? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And we have done many wonders in your name. Now, that's a claim. I have prophesied, I have done this, I have done that. I even cast out demons and so on and so forth. You know, we literally end up deceiving ourselves, thinking that these are the things God wants us to do. And we read, the Lord said, this is very important, okay? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Right? Depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. That's the problem. So when people actually practice lawlessness, and their faith in the Lord is just made out of words and nothing more. Maybe the person likes words. Maybe the person is skilled with words. Maybe the person is gifted with words. And he imagines that words in themselves equals faith. This is what the book of James is all about. That is not faith. A verbal expression of faith by itself counts for very little. It's what we do. And this is important. So the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew means to say, right from day one, you're not in. Right? I never knew you. That is the big problem. Depart from me. And then the problem is that people who practice lawlessness. See, the idea of practicing lawlessness is part of the doing part. So when people don't practice their faith as they should, and they only speak about faith in the Lord, is this faith real at all? Is this faith valid? Is this faith genuine? Will this so-called faith get you into heaven? Big question mark. Right? big question mark. And that is going to be important for when we talk about the so-called sinner's prayer. Just be very careful about using this so-called sinner's prayer as your basis. Right? And lots of people who will just simply say sinner's prayer, part of it, and it's frightening to think that that's what it is. Right? So something that we want to seriously consider. And we want to think about this. Okay, now we go back to this text here. Okay, and we read, if the person does the Lord's commandments, okay, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, that's important. Right? So when we talk about the tree of life, we go back to Genesis. There is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there is a tree of life. Right? So let us say that Adam and Eve, do they know about the tree of life? Yes. Right? But there was another tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did they partake of the tree of life? No. But they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is the problem. Right? So when we look at it very carefully, then we end up with a real challenge. What is this tree of life? Well, it is going to be that which will sustain you. Right? In this particular tree, you can eat all you want. Eat to your fill, to your heart's content. You don't have to worry about cholesterol. You don't have to worry about metabolic health. Now the key word is called metabolic health, whatever that means. Think about these things here. You know, you read about all kinds of things here. If only we will take from the fruit of the tree of life. Right? So when you come to, you just look at life and sometimes you look at a Christian life and many are just literally worn out, tired out, faded, lacking in so many things. And you ask yourself, why? And you ask yourself, have they partaken of the tree of life? You should. It is not just, I'll take it or I had a taste of it. It's not. You can partake of that. This is your right. This is your privilege of the tree of life. Why would you just take a bite and then one little bite will sustain you the rest of your rest of the week or rest of your life? You know, they always say, 7 days without the word of God makes 1 week. Think about this. Well, why can't we partake of the Lord's word so that we will not be weak in any sense of the word? And that is something that we all want to think about very carefully. But how? The key word, do His commandments. Not hear, not learn, not just simply desire, not even memorize. It's really doing it. And a lot of people really don't do what they should be doing. That's a problem. Right? So this is something that we want to appreciate, and that they may enter through the gates into the city. Right? So this is important. So we have the rights and privilege to the tree of life. We have a free pass into the gates into the city. We are citizens of heaven. We have our ID there, right? And you have every right to be there through the gates into the city of God. But we don't walk there. We occupy ourselves with all kinds of things. And we ask ourselves, why that's the case? Why can't we really, really look at what the Lord is offering? Right? I mean, this, I wish we would understand this a little bit and be challenged and be moved to do things rather than to just watch things happen. Right? They always tell you that in life there are three different of people. One, there are people who make things happen. They do things. There are people who watch things as they happen. There's a third group, they don't know what happened. I mean, if you look at life this way, which category are we in? Right? I want to be a monk. I'm one of those people who I've got to do things. I don't just watch things. I don't just don't know what's happened. I mean, it'd be good if we can understand this and then enter into the gates of the sea. There's so many things to discover in the city of God. We just think, and what we focus on? Pavement. The cities are made of gold. I mean, sometimes you just think about it very, very much. What is it all about? Right? So an old fairy tale is talking about one day how this princess was waiting for her knights in shining armor to come to rescue her. So the servants asked her, how do you know which is the one is your prince who will come to help you? And so she told all the servants, all right, now I want you to look very carefully, okay? I want you to build a road that will lead all the way into the palace gates. But that street is to be made of pure gold. And the servants were astonished. You mean you want us to make a pure gold? Are you serious? What for? You just do it anyway. And so they took a long time, got all the gold, melted it down, and put it onto the floor. And that was the pavement of pure gold. Then came the suitors. This is a beautiful princess, whoever. And they came, the first thing they saw was the gold road. And all the people, they said, don't damage the road. So they got the horses to ride around it. Nobody went onto the road except her true prince. And he was so happy to look forward to seeing the princess. And, he didn't even think about the road. He didn't care whether it's made of gold or whatever. It doesn't matter. To him, it is not the worth of the road, the golden nature of the road. These things don't matter. What really matters to him was simply going to see his princess. That's it. And if only we can have that kind of approach. Right? So our focus is not all the acquisition of things of this life. Right, we are not conscious of all the things that look be wonderful and so on and so forth. Our consciousness is just simply, we are in the city of God. It doesn't bug us, doesn't bother us if the streets are made of gold or whatever. Because that's not our focus. Nobody walks on the ground and looks, he said, wow, this is gold. I mean, well, something's wrong with us somewhere. We do his commandments. We enter into it. And we have the tree of life to partake of. That's just absolutely wonderful. Right? I mean, it's something that we sometimes just take for granted. And that's a really pretty big problem. And this is where the word blessing comes. Right? Who are the persons who are truly blessed? One, watch their life. They do the Lord's commandments. Two, they partake of the tree of life. Three, they have this whole privilege of being in heaven, in the city of God. What else do you need? What else do you look for? What else do you want? I mean, seriously, you think about these things. If you can understand this thing as your focus of it all, then you will be you will understand and appreciate all that we have from the Lord. Okay? Please don't wait until the very last moment. And then you look at, at least I have got heaven. What do you mean by at least I've got heaven if I got nothing else? Seriously, if you got heaven, you don't need anything else if you're really focused on it very carefully. But a part of us is always drawn to the things of the world still. And we end up just watching things happen, don't know what's happening, and we're just not in that part of it. I think this is something that's going to be very important. Simon wrote, this is his first family camp that he is speaking. So he very excitedly wrote and said, Pastor, oh, thank God, this is our first family camp. A lot of people were reached, and they came to thank me for the messages they heard. And he was just very, very happy just doing what he was doing. And of course, I breathe a sigh of relief as well that this was his first camp, and he worked very, very hard at it, and I think it's been really, really challenging. So I have a program for him to improve him, to help him to become the pastor there. So it's very demanding, very rigorous. And he used to, 3 times a week, he must write on the things that he has a book, one of my books. So I want you to be able to focus on this, and so he's been reading and preparing and read, and all the time, every day, three times a week, so he's just feel a bit more fortified. You see, this is what happens when you partake of the tree of life. You partake of good knowledge. You feel fortified. You feel focused. You feel strengthened all the way through. Now the real testing is when you actually do the commandments of God. How do you actually cope with it? And he came back and he says, yeah, I'm so happy. People were being blessed, people were being reached, and all that. And he said, I even asked Pastor Bhaskaran to give out the gifts to all the people. I said, good for you. Because the danger is to just sideline the older pastor and then, get out of my face kind of approach. Though he didn't do that. He said, okay, you involve him. See, this is a big step because they don't get along very well. Right? And that is a very big step forward. And you see, that's what happens. And this is where the Lord will bless, because he does that which is commanded of the Lord. 2, he partakes of the tree of life. 3, his focus is, this is the kingdom of God. This is the city of God. And you know what? I'm going to do this. And it's just wonderful to see this kind of approach towards this thing here. I think that's on the inside. Okay, so verse 14. Now let's look on the outside. Okay, now this is important. Outside are okay. Now this is a little bit of a problem. Outside are dogs. Right, now this is something that we sort of. And what do you mean by outside are dogs? Are we talking about literal dogs? I mean, seriously, when we look at this whole idea, nowadays we say, wow, my life has gone to the dogs. Singapore dogs, not so certain. You cannot use that phrase because our Singapore dogs are quite different. They are so privileged. Every morning we have one person in our estate here. They always walk around our estate. So there's this one who walks in our sheet. He's not dressed very fancy, in a very fancifully, but he's dressed very simply. But it is the dog who looks good, right? So the dog has got leather shoes, So we've got 4 of those leather shoes, and she walks every morning she walks around with the dog morning and evening, and she walks. Unmistakable, there's a nice pair, and they're not just specially made, because it fits the dog very, very nicely. But remember, still a dog, right? So when we saw to outside are dogs. Now that is a distinguish with a lot of these things here, and then the explanation why they are what they are. No matter what it is, they are just nothing more than like animals. And it's important for us to be sure that we don't go that way. Outside are what? Will a dog be able to appreciate doing the commandments of God? No. Will a dog be able to, appreciate the tree of life? No. They'll take whatever it is. They'll do whatever it is. And in other words, they just don't know how. That's why the Lord warns, don't throw your pearls before swine, which is a even nastier word, right? And this is very important. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, because they cannot appreciate it, right? I must also now include a word here for other purposes, okay? Not biblical, but cats. So I have to remind myself, I have a beautiful cat. But recently, I don't know where he's, and he is certainly not senile, but he is very adventurous, and he will find a way out of the house if he can. Right? So there was a little bit of thing here, we're just wondering how he got out. One day, what's he doing out there? So I have to go in and try to catch him back. And he's very fast, he's very strong. Catching him takes two or three people. So why do you want to go out? You can be stolen, you can be kidnapped. You know, you can be a lot of these things. Why do you want to go out? So you bring him, I say, you don't go out. I talk to him, and he'll look very sheepish for a while. And tomorrow he will try again. So we have to literally wire up everything so that he will not do that. But he will try. He's already tried and done it. Just a tiny little gap. I say, how can you escape? But if he can put his head through, his whole body can go through. He looks a bit on the plump side. And believe me, he's strong all the way. But he's very determined. He wants to outside. Why you want to go outside for? So I reason with him. He cannot understand. I plead with him. He cannot understand. I try to talk to him. He cannot understand. I give him extra food. He cannot understand. Tomorrow morning, give him half a chance. Like this morning, whoa, he's almost there again. I had to smack him this morning. Stop it. Don't do that. See, that's the problem. Outside are dogs. You cannot talk to them. You cannot reason with them. You cannot encourage them. You cannot whatever. How do I, Lord, please pray, bless the cat. It doesn't work that way. He's not going to respond to my prayers either. Right? See, the whole point of it all, they are not, as it were, people who belong to God. And so this becomes a problem. Outside are dogs. If we cannot understand reasoning, if we cannot understand what is good, what is best for you, you have been cared for. You know, he's never been sick a day of his life with us. He has been kept all the way. The vet is just impressed. Hey, how come he doesn't get sick? So he doesn't get flu jab. There's no COVID jabs. Nothing. He's just perfectly fine all the way through. And still he wants to go out. To do what? So I watch him and say, what are you doing? And he just sits on there and he's just happy because he's out. See, outside are dogs. They don't understand and appreciate how to appreciate doing the word, the commandment of God. They don't appreciate being in the city of gold. They don't appreciate what it means to have the privilege of the tree of life. They cannot appreciate. That is the problem. Outside are dogs. Right? So this is the first problem. Second, now we have a greater big problem, and that is sorcerers. And that you have an interesting here, sorceress, right? How does this work? By the way, nowadays this idea of sorcery, whether it is, Rowling's book on things like that, coming out with all the, things and the Fellowship of the Rings and things like that, you'd be surprised. This genre of sorcery and all that is a very big thing. Right? One of the latest books written by a lady called R.F. Huang is called Catabasis. Now, this is actually a biblical word. Right? It's a word that talks about how the Lord descended into hell and things like that. It's called a Catabasis. There's a whole series of things which the book has already been really bought by MGM already. They're going to do a series based on this. It's all about sorcery. right? But it's a different kind of sorcery. It's about a Cambridge, undergraduate wanted to do a doctoral program, but then the professor died, and then told you want to go into getting the professor's soul to come back and help her with, and so on and so forth. You see, that's, you know, it's a big thing. Please do not confuse this idea of sorcery as in the early days, wear cone hats and then wear big robes and that kind of stuff, which is, you know, it's more imaginary than any significance. This idea of sorcery, today's sorcery, is very, very high-tech. It's very complex, but it is still there, right? I mean, when they sell those, the Ouija board, that to go and look at those things, do you know how much they make out of this sorcery stuff on sale every year? We're talking over $1 billion market. That's what we are looking at. There is a $1 billion market thing here called sorcery. And we think it's all hidden in the ground, worship of Satan and all. It's not. It's far more complex than most people realize outside. So they use all kinds of things. We read in Isaiah 8, they will say, let's go and look for these things, the mediums and things like that. Everybody is looking for something or other, right? Look at our Singapore, modern day 21st century Singapore, and you look at the businesses outside, the big businesses outside, the big hotels out there, and you watch. Every single one of them will consult a feng shui person just to make it right. Right? So the Hyatt Hotel in Singapore, Orchard Road area down there, and they were not doing well. So they had to ask a feng shui man, hey, what's wrong? He said, you see, your door is wrong. You know, because it's bypassing you. You must invite the thing to enter into. They shut it down for a few months, lost a lot of things for a few months, and then change it. And then suddenly they say, business boom again. This is big money. The fee of the person, six figures. Just to give the advice how to go about doing this. And we are not looking at cheap things, you know. And these people who are sorcerers, we call them sorcerers, but this is what it means. Those who get involved in all those things, you watch what kind of cars they drive. Right? Nothing less than, you know, a big Mercedes. Not the small ones. You know, the bigger, the flashier, the better one. Two, watch. Look at the watches they wear. Everyone is at least a golden Rolex. Nothing less than that. See, that's how they succeed. So this idea of sorcery is big business. Right? All in the name of what? If you think that it's not important, you'll be surprised, right? I mean, we are looking at, even for MediaCorp and things like that, and they try to do a production and all that. You try and see, do it without offering something to the deities around. You'll be surprised. Nobody does. Nobody dares. Right, so they try to do those spooky stories and things like that, and then suddenly the people tell you, you know, I have been having this terrible sense of there's something behind me all the time. What do I do? And they look for help. Now, those are the important things. So the idea is sorcery is not a small thing. Please think about these things here. So it's not Rowling's kind of stuff here. And it's far deeper than most people realize. Right? So it's not just here in modern Singapore. Is it the US? Is it the UK? You think that it don't exist, you'll be surprised, right? So several years ago, Druidism, you know, the old cult of Druid faith is now accepted as a religion in Britain. Just imagine, Druidism. You know, this one will wear in white robes and things like that, go to the forest then to have their worship and things like, you know, things like that. So Obelix, get a fix, Asterix kind of thing here. And that's what it is. And these things here become very real to people. The gathering, the following is quite substantial. right? So you want to think about it very carefully. So outside, they are dogs, they are involved in sorcery, and of course they are sexually immoral, and they are murderers, and they are idolaters, right? And they are people who love and practice lying, right? So there we go. Nowadays, anything can you spin a story, and that's your narrative. Your narrative becomes true. It's a plain lie, and yet it's there. This is now, look at the art, the state of art today. Right? Everyone will hire now spin doctors. Politicians hire spin doctors. This is a story. These are some basic facts. Now, how do I spin this story? Nobody wants to tell the truth for what it is. How do I spin it? Be careful. This is exactly warned against. Right? Loves and practices a lie. How do you do that? How do we love a lie? How do we practice it? Well, this is something that is being done, and the word is, this is outside. Will you find them inside heaven? No. You won't. One, they don't want to be part of it anyway. Right? So they're going to be on the outside. So do we distinguish between what's on the inside and what's on the outside? And those who are excluded, you've got to watch out for these things here very, very carefully, and you think about this. Okay, now, important for us. Okay, and then the Lord responds in verse 4, point number 4, we read Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Right, so we know that this is true because there are many, many angels mentioned in the book of Revelation. In fact, this book is the one that mentions the angels all over the place, right? Now, this is something that we want to appreciate and think about very carefully. Okay, now, here comes the Lord Jesus himself, and he says, I am the root, the offspring of David. This is Isaiah 11, verse 1, right? So this is how the Lord sees himself. He is the root. So if we do it without the roots, how are we going to grow? You can't. Right? This is something that we want to take a look at, the roots. And then here is the offspring of David. Right? Meaning the Davidic line. These are all promises from the Lord. And basically what the Lord has done is to fulfill everything that you can imagine that needed to be fulfilled, and it was all done. And this is important for us to take note of, right? And he is called the bright and morning star, where we have the idea of the day spring, right? So this is the concept of the old day spring, bright and morning star, and he's all the way there. So once you learn about the Lord Jesus, you discover more about the Lord Jesus, there's everything to rejoice in. So you can take time to think about the roots. And you look at humble beginnings. Well, let's look at Isaiah 11, and we'll see this a little bit, right? And where, look at, out of obscurity, 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse is hardly anybody of note in his time. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Right? So this is very important. Then, of course, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And this is talking about how the Lord Jesus can, right? Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Right? So the idea of the Lord Jesus is, you know what? I am just simply, I'm the root. And that's the humility of the Lord saying, okay, that's what it is. And you appreciate the humble beginnings of the Lord Jesus, the root. Right? And then we talk about the offspring of David, where the prophecy was that he will come from the line of David. And the Lord himself says, I'm just simply the offspring of David. And then he added one other thing here, the bright and morning star. So if we want to understand how to relate to the Lord, this is where, here it is. And let's appreciate how it is. So when we try and follow biblical ways, biblical things, we think about roots and how we begin in a very humble way. Don't be afraid of humble beginnings, because that's what the idea of roots, right? Go on further. Don't be afraid of being the offspring of. He does not want to say, I am greater than David. I don't have to. Just simply, I am of the offspring. I am the offspring of David. That's it. It's just humble, the humility of the Lord that stands out. And then finally, of course, the obvious, the bright and morning star. We need, in a lot of darkness around us, we need the Lord as the bright and morning star in our life to shine until it shines, until it's noonday bright. And that's what it is. And that's going to be important. Right? So if we look at all of these things here and we ask ourselves, how do we respond? And the response is found in verse 17. And we read, right? And the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. It means the church. Let him who hears says, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So there must be the desire within our heart. Right, so many people, when we talk about the second coming of the Lord, many people say, yeah, but I'm not ready. Can you please come after I'm ready? When will you be ready? Right? Well, but this is not what it is. I mean, sometimes childish, you know, those who have not done well in exams, is, oh, Lord, please don't. Please come before the exam results are out. I mean, that's ridiculous. Some people who are not married, say, but Lord, I'm yet not yet married, you know, and can I... can you come after I'm married? And the person is already 65. You see, a lot of people think that way, unfortunately, but not ready. Well, this is where we have to ask ourselves, what is the state of readiness? Can we say, the Spirit's reply, come. The church ready for the bridegroom, come. Right? No bride will want to wait. The bride will simply say, come. Come to the husband, come. This is important. Right now, we extend it to those who are outside, those who hear. Do we understand? And our response should be, Lord, come. Right? And the invitation goes out. Those who are thirsty, come, the Lord invites. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Find that life. Find that life and drink freely, and you will find life. Truly find life. And you won't be afraid of a lot of things. I think that's something that we all want to think about very much. And if we can do this, it will be it's really a bit of a challenge, but it's something that we want to ask ourselves. Are we ready? Right? Seriously. And this is something that we need to think about very carefully. During the week, again, there was some deaths in India from time to time. One last week, as the week began, was a 37-year-old young man. Don't know what he was doing up in a tree, but he fell down. And after he fell down, he was so seriously injured, he was paralyzed. And then... he came to faith in the Lord because of this accident, because of this result. And so he, from then onwards, was literally looking forward to death. Because this is the only thing that makes sense to him. He's poor, he cannot walk now, he's got no job, the family is poor. I mean, it's a very sad life all the way through. One sister had to give up thoughts of being married so that she can look after him fully. That was it. And then he passed on. But he was one very happy, cheerful person. He was never before there, but it was there. And this life in the Lord Jesus helped him to find a special sense of joy that he shares with the whole family. And in the last 7 years, all the members in the family came to faith in the Lord because they saw his life change so wonderfully. What did he die of finally? Renal failure. And he suffered a heart attack, and that was it, gone. right? There was another one that came up this week. One of the mothers of one of our church members there during the camp week, she passed on, and she was just 72, heart attack, and that was it. And, you know, these are all reminders to us. And, you know, it could happen to any one of us, right? You don't know what would happen. Sometimes, you know, you've come to a certain age in your life and you begin to realize there are certain things you cannot prevent. One, you cannot prevent a stroke. You don't know when it will hit you. Two, there are certain things that were going to hit you and you sometimes are absolutely unable to can anticipate it, unable to overcome it on your own. What do you have? Faith in the Lord. So be among the blessed. Do the commandments of God. Be among the blessed. Say to the Lord, Lord, come. Right? This is very important. Come. Come not because you are doing poorly. Come because a heart desires, like the bride desires the coming of the bridegroom. And she says, come. See, ours is like that. You know, if I'm doing well in life, no need to come, Lord. So no need. When things are really bad, Lord, then you please come. Come soon so that it won't get into worse trouble. It's not the kind of invitation for the Lord to come in any way. But seriously, the best thing to do, think about this. Come, the Lord invites. There's a tree of life. There's a water of life. Live. Find this life in the Lord. Think that's the best thing to do. Think about these things and it's going to help us a great, great deal. Right? So this is very important. Oh, by the way, after we finish the book Revelation, if you would like me to teach anything special, I would be very happy to. I'm thinking in terms of whether you want me to carry on with all the things we'll send, I think you all are quite tired of the talking about the second coming all the time already. I'm just wondering if you would like to, I would like to literally help you to go and look into the study of the Old Testament prophets. We don't need to begin with Isaiah or Ezekiel or those big ones, but the minor prophets, and give you an idea of how these books are very challenging to read, but they're vital. Listen, if there are any things that you want me to teach on, I'll be very happy to consider what you're going to say. All right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that we have read this morning. Help us to have a faith that does things, not just thinking, speaking, sharing, but actually doing things in response to what we read. Lord, help us to also be able to say with all our heart, come, Lord Jesus. Help us to find a love and desire for him to return to us, because the world is so evil. And we pray that you will teach us how to look forward to the day when he returns for us. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.